This is our number 10.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
And continuing our breaking news coverage this afternoon, that tragic shooting yesterday in Burien, and that was just one of several shootings all around the Puget Sound area. Eight shootings in the last 24 hours in King and Snohomish counties. This woman was just at her job. You know, it's something we talk about an awful lot, Ursula, the fragility of life. Mm-hmm. She was just beautiful afternoon yesterday, gorgeous day. Wednesday, she's sitting at the front desk of this chiropractic clinic.
You are at your workplace.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not even a workplace violence thing. A bullet comes through the plate glass window that was intended for a 39-year-old man and or his 15-year-old son who may be gang affiliated.
Yeah, and we were talking about lack of respect for human life. I mean, you know, the man who was targeted with his son, they were leaving Highline High School.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's a busy street. There are people walking all over the place. And up to a dozen shots were fired.
Yeah. And two 17-year-old gang-affiliated, known to police. And by the way, I've been talking about the idiocy of local politicians like Joe McDermott on the King County Council. I do want to give lots of credit and praise to the King County Sheriff's Department because they had these two 17-year-olds arrested within 8 hours of the shooting.
Yes.
It was not revealed to us until the last 40 minutes or so, but they had these two 17-year-olds in custody last night, and they said people cooperated. I think people were so horrified by, you know, just the randomness of this 51-year-old woman who was shot. But we still had, as I mentioned last hour, there were two teenage girls murdered in Burien a few months ago. They were just at a bunch of 50 or 60 kids were mingling outside of an apartment building, and that was almost certainly gang-related, and those killers remain on the loose, unless they've committed some other crime and that they've been arrested for. But nobody's been charged in the murder of the 13- and 19-year-old girls down in Burien. But King County Sheriff's Office did an absolutely fantastic job of getting these guys identified, and then they sent out a SWAT team to an apartment building. Here is a little bit. Ryan Abbott is the King County Sheriff's Department spokesman, Sergeant Ryan Abbott. He just completed a press conference, and here is a little bit of what he said, how these arrests came down.
So, as we know, yesterday here in Burien, we had the tragic shooting of the victim that worked at the chiropractic office behind me. Detectives worked and continue to work on this case, our major crimes detectives. And last night, probably around, say, 10:30 or 11, detectives got some information after interviewing witnesses of who they believe the suspects were. They went to the residence with our SWAT team, and they were able to arrest both suspects as they left the residence. Both suspects were taken into custody. They're both 17 years old. They are members of the UL, United Lakotos Sereno Street Gang. They were both booked into the Youth Service Center last night for investigation of murder.
Okay, so that is Sergeant Ryan Abbott with the King County Sheriff's Department telling a little bit about the two 17-year-olds they arrested, members of a street gang. The target of the shooting was a 39-year-old father and his 15-year-old son. And here is a little bit about the guys that these 17-year-olds were trying to gun down.
I don't know if they are the father and son. I don't know if they're still in relation to a gang or not, if they're just associates. I'll try to get some information from detectives and see if they can elaborate any more on that.
So the father and son at some point were at least associates in a gang, related to the gang.
And apparently they have been cooperating with police, so I think they were able to help identify who they believe were the shooters.
Well, I bet they would, because the other members of this gang that tried to gun them down, no doubt, are still going to be gunning for this father and son now, and we don't know if they were both targets. A little more on the gang connection from the sergeant.
Is known in this community, yes. And they have some issues with another street gang, also Sereno, which is the VL. I don't know a ton more than that. I'd have to pass it over to our gang unit to get some more information. But, yes, they are known to be in the area.
Okay, so these are gang members, well-known to police, down there in the Burien area. And we still have some politicians who are worried about putting signs up in gun shops instead of devoting resources and just target. I mean, the only way you can solve a problem is to laser in on the true source of the problem. And if it is gangs and illegals or a blend of the two, then you have to laser in on that. But we don't have any politicians who seem to have the guts to say that, to identify that. The mania now is abolish ICE. We got to get rid of ICE. We can't enforce any of our immigration laws. We need to be a welcoming area. Jay Inslee has said he wants our state to be the magnet destination for illegals in the United States of America. And because of the number of illegals that we have around here, we get an extra congressional seat. Because it's based on your total numbers, not your number of citizens. So our Democrat politicians, they are desperate to get an extra congressional seat for Washington State. And so if it means attracting illegals to our state to ensure that that will happen, and we are one of a handful of states that actually has an extra seat in Congress because we have attracted so many illegals to our region. And so this is the problem that we have around here. By the way, the King County Sheriff Sergeant Ryan Abbott, who we asked to come on, I'm now told will join us in studio at 2:05 this afternoon.
Oh, great.
Yeah, so we're looking forward to talking with him because, like I said, it was great work by the King County Sheriff's Office in getting these guys caught. All right, we got more to do here in our Fastest 15 up next. Remember that story we told you about a couple of days ago? A guy was shaving on a train, and somebody took video of it and then posted it, and they were shaming the guy for doing something that's, you know, kind of disgusting to do in public. He had shaving cream all over his face. It means that he was, you know, leaving little beard remnants wherever he was shaking off his razor. And everybody on the train was kind of disgusted.
And then he shared his story.
And then the guy said that his life is all messed up. He had just gotten out of rehab. One brother gave him enough money to go to his other brother's family's place in Jersey, and he wanted to just clean himself up and be presentable. Well, now, this is one of those stories where it was ridiculous to shame the guy, because I think, you know, you go after people based on their behavior that affects all of us. And you know, that's why I talk about politicians the way I do, because it affects all of us. But this was just a guy shaving. Nobody knew the backstory. But now the pendulum's going to swing too far the other way. Because the guy who posted the video, he says that he regrets having posted it, and he is now going to try to raise money for the guy who was shaving. And how many times do those stories end up in just absolute disaster?
Yeah. Donate with caution.
Yeah, we don't know. All we know about this guy is he was in rehab and then he shaved. We don't know his story. We don't know what's in his heart.
Well, I hope that he gets help and he gets the help he needs to get, you know, on his feet and maybe change the trajectory of his life. Maybe something good comes of it. The problem is now this guy who, you know, feels guilty, you know, maybe doing a misdeed by then doing a GoFundMe that the money never gets to the right person.
It's up to $37,000.
Oy.
He said his goal was $35,000. So this guy is going to get 30. Well, I mean, it's right now. It'll go up to 100,000. He's going to get 100,000 bucks because he shaved on a train and somebody made him feel bad about it. And I will never. I've told you a million times. I do not understand people who donate to GoFundMes when they know nothing about the backstory of the recipient.
I love the sentiment, and I love that people want to share and try to help, but maybe that's not the best way.
No, if you feel guilty about this, raise money for a shelter where you know they will use that money to put in some drug and alcohol rehab programs and that they will feed people who are working to get clean. But you drop $100,000 in the lap of an addict who was just shaving on a train, that's not helping him. We don't have any equilibrium. We just swing from one wild extreme to another. Next up in the fastest 15.
I will say, he has said that he doesn't want the money.
Well, good.
Something like that, but I'm sure he'll take it.
I'm sure he'll take it. I know he's saying that, but
I just hope it'll be given.
Yeah,
that's the other problem.
Unlike that couple that's under investigation for stealing $400,000 that they raised for a military veteran homeless guy a couple weeks ago. Okay, next up in the fastest 15. Oh, do you love the balloons?
Which ones?
I don't know. Like at a kid's birthday party.
Oh, sure.
You like
I
it
love
when
balloons.
They're released in the air?
When I was little.
PETA.
Yeah.
I've been to some memorial services where they will release helium balloons and you will, you know, and it's kind of a sweet thought. You see the spirit of whoever you're memorializing soaring up into the heavens. They're also used for things like college football game celebrations. The University of Nebraska, after the first touchdown of their home football games, they always release thousands of balloons. So every game, first time the Cornhuskers score, whoosh, thousands of balloons go soaring into the Nebraska sky. But PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, they are demanding that the University of Nebraska stop that tradition that's been going on for more than 50 years. They say that animals mistake the balloon fragments for food after they pop and they consume them. Hmm. How dumb are these animals? Eating just a little
piece of
latex.
Well, it's weird, too. I never see balloons just lying all over the ground.
I'm sorry.
I don't see that.
Has your dog ever eaten something they're not supposed to?
Well,
mine sure has.
By the way, did you see the little tweet video I put up of Buddy last night?
Oh, no, I'm going to have to look.
Did you look at the Twitter
video?
No, I missed
of Buddy?
It. Oh, man, it's cute. Go check out my Twitter.
I think Scooter has at least one sock in his belly. I know that.
At Dori Monson, DoriMonson. No, I mean, the worst thing that any of my dogs ever ate, it was my fault. It was Father's Day when we had Star still. It was Father's Day, and I decided I was going to try to make a brisket on the barbecue, which is a horrible idea. I now make it in the smoker on my Traeger grill, and it's fantastic. But a barbecue, it's tough to regulate because you want to go low and slow on the brisket. And I burned it. I just burned it. My wife and daughters, they were gone for the afternoon. On Father's Day, they were gone. And I thought, well, I can still salvage the brisket. So I started with a knife hacking off all the horribly charred outside of it. And Star's standing right by the barbecue, and I don't want to let this delicious brisket go to waste. So as I'm cutting off the charred pieces, I'm flipping them to Star. And what do they give humans who have ingested like a poison to make them throw up?
Is it charcoal?
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I tell you what, about an hour later, Star emptied her inside. I mean, it was like more came out of her than the size of her herself.
Similar to what happened at the top of the stairs when she ate.
No, that was Buddy. That was Buddy when he got into the Traeger grease grill. Mm-hmm. And
So back to your question about how dumb are animals?
Yeah, but in both cases, I gave them something delicious. I didn't toss a balloon. Well, I tossed a balloon down.
The balloon looks
star
interesting.
Star or Buddy. Well, it's because something's interesting.
And I just saw the video of Buddy. That's adorable.
Yeah. We were playing Frisbee hard yesterday. My youngest daughter and Buddy and I were playing Frisbee. And, oh, man, we gave him a workout. Okay, next up in the fastest 15, here's an uncomfortable question. Do you wear any clothes when you sleep? And I guess I'm especially asking the millennials who are listening right now, because according to a brand new study, what percentage of millennials do you think sleep nude?
I'll go with 60.
Very close. Two-thirds, 67% of millennials sleep nude. Is that exclusive to millennials?
No.
Gosh, 100% of noon to three talk show hosts on Cairo sleep nude.
No underwear?
I don't want to get into it. I'm uncomfortable talking to you
That's
about that.
Really TMI.
But in general, nude means no underwear. But I'm not going to talk about this with you because I'm not comfortable.
You brought it up.
Well, I know, but you're the one who pursued it. I think I made it pretty clear without you having to add to it like that.
There's
but yes,
children in the house.
Two-thirds of what?
Well, I guess just daughters. What if there was a fire?
No, it's always
I always have something on. What if there's a fire?
Well, they get sweats right next to the
bed. I think we've just figured out why you have sleep issues.
No. Oh, man. If I had something clingy to me. I've tried, you know, like when we vacationed and we would, you know, we didn't want to spring for, well, when the girls were little,
uh-huh.
I would always, of course, wear clothes to sleep in the hotel, but, oh, man, you might as well just put a straitjacket on me. A t-shirt and boxers are like a straitjacket when you're in bed. It's horrible. It's the most confining, awful thing imaginable.
Dory, when you sleep in the buff.
You're making me uncomfortable just by jumping in on this topic.
Now, I can't sleep nude, right? Because are you worried that you'll, like, sort of sleep scratch and, you know, your fingers will go places where your underwear, you have a barrier generally.
Oh, God.
Right?
And that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast. Dory's Fastest 15.
You give us 15 minutes, we'll give you way, way too much. Okay, Amy Clancy from Cairo 7 is going to tell us. She's going to join us to tell us how a felon who still had time in jail just walked out of the King County Jail. It's an amazing story. We'll talk to Amy up next. Well, there have been a couple of absolutely inexplicable law and justice stories in the news the last few days. You've all seen the video of the guy who went on the absolute rampage at the downtown Seattle Target store. 15 minutes, he terrorized employees and customers. No police response. They finally catch the guy prowling a car in West Seattle. He goes before a judge and was released 19 hours later. That's something I will never understand. And then, also from our friends at Cairo 7 News, a crazy story about a convicted felon at the King County Jail, and our friend reporter Amy Clancy is the one who has this story, and she joins us here on Cairo Radio. Hey, Amy, good to talk to you.
Good talking to you, Dory, as always.
Okay, so what you guys exclusively found was what you called a pretty significant public safety breach at the King County Jail. Tell me what went down here.
Well, I found in charging documents, and you know I routinely look through court documents and do some digging. I'm a reporter. I'm nosy. And I found charging documents for Escape 2. So I pulled up the documents. They're a matter of public record. And those documents detailed how an inmate at the King County Jail in downtown Seattle walked out of the jail on August 22nd. He was not meant to be released. He was not supposed to be released, but he hid himself amongst a group of people who were supposed to be released, and he just walked out.
Okay, the guy's name is Joseph Tramado. What was he in jail for?
He was in jail and charged with three separate burglaries and three separate possessions of methamphetamine. And so, according to the court documents, he had broken into a couple of apartment complexes, two on Capitol Hill, one down at the market, Pike Place Market, and allegedly committed burglary, where he stole tools, a bicycle, a money envelope, and also in one of the places he broke in and apparently did his laundry in the basement. So his court records detail a history of preying on people when he needed money, needed a place to stay, needed to do his laundry. And so he was in the King County Jail awaiting trial on those pending criminal charges, six felony counts.
Okay, so how is the guy who's awaiting trial not sitting in a cell? How is he wandering around so that he could blend in with a group of guys who were being escorted out?
Well, this was all detailed in the investigation that a criminal investigator with the King County Department of Adult and Juvenile Detention filled out and is included in the court records. Because when the charges were filed, they need to have probable cause documents that show a detail of what happened. And according to his investigation, Tramado was in an assigned housing area with other inmates. And one of the other people who was in this area was called out for a clinic appointment.
Okay.
And even though Tramado was not called out, he followed this other inmate out. And then according to this report, and this is all based on surveillance video. So this is all stuff that's on camera and was on camera as it was happening. So Tramado could be seen with several other inmates in chairs outside of his housing. And then other inmates had been called out of their housing. They were being staged in plastic chairs in anticipation of being released. And the escorting officer arrives to escort the released inmates to the intake, transfer, and release area.
Okay.
So when the escorting officer, and I'm reading from this police document here, when the escorting officer calls for the released inmates to step out of the wing, Tramado follows along with the group, even though he has not been called for release. Tramado hides his face from the camera in the elevator as he accompanies the released inmates. Once in ITR, Tramado follows the other inmates into the release holding area. The other inmates are called out individually to be fingerprinted, but Tramado is not called out and remains with the soon-to-be-released inmates in the holding area. So then the narrative goes on to say that, you know, he would hide his face from the cameras because he knew there were surveillance cameras there. And basically what happened over a span of an hour and 15 minutes from the time he was in his housing area, he followed this group out when these group members went to the window to get their clothes and their belongings. Because when you're booked into jail, you're given jail clothes to wear and your belongings are held. So when everybody else went to the window after being fingerprinted to get their belongings and their clothes, Tramado didn't go to the window. He just waited till everybody else came out. He grabbed clothes, presumably, from the trash and from the other inmates, ripped off his jail clothes, put on street clothes, followed them out the front door, and according to the surveillance video, he was seen running up Fifth Avenue on August 22nd, and he was not captured for 3 weeks.
Here's the part that I just do not understand, Amy. Doesn't the person who's facilitating the guys who were due to be released, doesn't he have a list? And if there are seven guys on the list, and there are eight guys sitting in plastic chairs, shouldn't that raise some kind of a red flag?
Well, when I spoke with the jail director yesterday, and I found this on, what day is it today, Thursday? I found it Tuesday. The charges had just been filed. And so we reached out to both the county executive's office as well as the jail director's office to say, look, we'd like to talk to somebody about this on camera because this is a public safety concern, and we believe somebody needs to address what happened. Those requests for on-camera interviews were denied, but I did speak yesterday on the phone with William Hayes, who is the jail director, outgoing. He's retiring at the end of October. And these are questions that I wanted to ask. How many systems of checks and balances here might have failed? If the video clearly shows a guy hiding his face, was anybody watching that in real time?
Right.
Was somebody who was in the unit with them, a jail officer, seeing this? Does he recognize Tramado and wonder, hey, why is this guy with them? I don't know the answer to those questions, but those are some of the questions we wanted to ask. And I was told by jail director Hayes that all of that is part of the investigation. I also wanted to know, here's a very real public safety question that we also haven't received answers to. So what was he doing during that 3 weeks that he was on the lam and supposed to be in custody at the King County Jail? Who knows? If you look at his history, he has a history of criminal activity, theft, burglary, vehicular assault, He even has a history of escape. He has a conviction from 2003 for escape. So this guy seems to me the kind of guy that you would want to red flag as a possible escape risk.
And the other thing that strikes me, you know, as a dad, when I was coaching basketball, I would take teams to out-of-state tournaments, and we'd be walking down the sidewalk on our way to, you know, the gym or the court. And I would just be obsessive, Amy. I knew I was supposed to have 9 girls in my care, and I would just be constantly, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I mean, that's a dad thing. You're just, if you have other people's kids with your kids at the Puyallup Fair, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I mean, you're just constantly counting, and I'm trying to figure out how a jail employee doesn't know exactly how many people are supposed to get released that day. And I know that's one of the questions you want to ask, but I also find it disturbing that they won't just go on camera with you and answer some of these questions.
Well,
because
Dory,
we deserve
of course we deserve answers. And, you know, the thing is, we are journalists, and we're going to keep asking the questions, whether somebody is willing to answer them or not, because that is our responsibility. And when I see a narrative, a play-by-play of what the investigator for the King County Department of Adult and Juvenile Detention lists as what happened, I believe that somebody should at least just address what happened. But we didn't have any luck with that. And here's the thing. We're still going to do the story.
Well, sure.
We're still going to talk about what happened. We confirmed that it happened. Director Hayes said, yes, it happened. Yes, it's under investigation. And he also said that there have been changes that have already been implemented at the King County Jail because of Tramado's escape. Now, he's not going to tell us what those are, and that's fine.
Of course.
Because you don't want to give anybody a heads up on how to do it again.
Right.
But he also said that in his 34 years with the King County Jail, he has never seen anything like this.
Well, that's where the other reasonable question that you would ask is, so what are the consequences for the individual jail employee who had a massive breakdown in the security protocol? And I want to know what could, and I think that's the reason they don't talk. Because
They
never punish anybody for this.
Well, I want to know that, too. Was it a singular person? Was it multiple people? You know, was it not just the people who were with the released, the soon-to-be-released inmates, but the people possibly watching surveillance video? Or is there anybody watching the surveillance video? I don't know. I do know that that surveillance video clearly detailed the step-by-step that Tramado allegedly take. And I say allegedly because he hasn't been convicted of escape. He has been charged with escape.
Right.
But the surveillance video details what the investigator said happened.
Okay. Great exclusive story that Amy Clancy, our news partners at Cairo 7, has. And let me know when you find out more answers to all the legitimate questions that are out there about this, Amy.
I will.
Okay, thanks, Amy.
Mm-hmm.
Amy Clancy, Cairo 7 News. Love to hear your thoughts. You can text us on the Online Trading Academy text line 98973. That's 98973. We have lots more still to come here on the Dory Monster Show. Coming up right after the top of the hour news, King County Sheriff Sergeant Ryan Abbott is going to join us in studio to talk about how they caught these 17-year-old gang members who are suspected in the murder of an innocent 51-year-old woman. They were trying to shoot a father and son who were walking down the street. So we'll talk to the sergeant right after the top of the hour, but it was a great bit of police work by the King County Sheriff's Department. The stock market, all-time high, up 251 points today. And the reason it's soaring is because Corporate earnings are doing well. There's tremendous consumer confidence in the stock market. Middle class earnings are the highest, adjusted for inflation, the highest ever. Unemployment is as low as can be. Jobless claims are at a 49-year low. The economy is doing well. And I have to say, you know, one of the big talking points for Democrats in the midterms, if you give us control of Congress, we will impeach Trump. First of all, what that means is Mike Pence would become president. And I don't know why liberals are so eager for that, except that everything is just clouded by their intense hatred of Trump. But if you get rid of Trump, you are going to see the stock market adjust accordingly, because it was his tax cut. It was even more than the tax cut. It was the deregulation that has freed up companies, boosted such confidence in our business community, and it's lifted the stock market to all-time highs. But most importantly, for all of the people who have pension funds and retirement savings, this message that if you give us control, we will get rid of the guy and likely trash the markets. I just don't know why that's such an appealing message. I don't know why. And I do know why. Because the people who are filled with such anger toward Trump, and I've talked about this a lot, generally they are people who have a gigantic void in their life, and they fill it with just hatred for the president. But also, maybe for whatever reason, like here in Seattle, where socialists have taken over, you know, the Democratic Party and the Seattle City Council, big swaths of King County government as well. It's about socialism. It's people who haven't been able to succeed despite what is a great economic environment. And so they're loathing for the fact that they haven't been able to succeed economically given the infrastructure of a great economy. They would rather just see everybody else hurt instead of say, you know what, I'm going to take advantage of this great economy and I'm going to lift myself up and I'm going to make sure that I can take care of myself economically. Now, it's, hey, government, take his stuff, give it to me. And it's, I'm just filled with loathing for people who have succeeded. There are good reasons to not like President Trump. I've said it a million times. The economy ain't one of them, and strategies that'll crash the economy seem particularly stupid right now. More on the Burien shooting next.